Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. The resurgence of China as a major world power has profound implications for the world, and China's relationship with the United States is of particular interest. Our guest, the late Iris Chang, was an American deeply interested in China. Her international bestseller, The Rape of Nanking, brought wide attention to deep and unresolved tensions between China and Japan. This is a story that is still being played out more than half a century after the atrocities in Nanking, but with a new twist. Now, when a high-ranking Japanese official ignores the atrocity Japan committed in Nanking, there's a price to pay. Ms. Chang said there was no mystery as to what had changed.
It owes itself to a growing confidence that China has now as probably the second greatest economic superpower, military power in the world. During the Cold War, I think China was very afraid to offend Japan because both the PRC and the ROC were competing for Japan's political recognition of their governments.
Iris Chang was a writer. She also suffered from the disease of depression, taking her own life in November 2004. Her legacy includes the work her family is now actively pursuing to end the stigma of mental illness in the Asian American community. Iris Chang gained international attention with her best-selling book, The Rape of Nanking. She also wrote Thread of the Silkworm. The last book she completed was The Chinese in America, A Narrative History. In it, she explored connections between today's two great powers, China and the United States. Her work appeared in many publications, and her honors included the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation's Program on Peace and International Cooperation Award and the Woman of the Year Award from the Organization of Chinese Americans. Bill Russell and I share Iris Chang's commitment to justice and human rights. And so, as unaware as everyone else that mental illness would soon claim Iris Chang's life, we were simply pleased to welcome Iris Chang to our program. Iris Chang, as I joined with you in your narrative history of the Chinese in America, I kept having the image that you include in the book of Siamese twins, that really you could not understand the experience of the Chinese in America if you didn't understand both America and China over 150 years. Did you have that sense as you wrote about the Chinese in America?
Absolutely. I felt really it was a journey that involved not just one, but two countries. And it's a fascinating journey because we're talking about the immigrants from the world, one of the world's oldest civilizations, to one of its newest.
And that sense that you... Truly, I was most struck by that. I cannot understand America if I do not understand China. I cannot understand China if I don't see it in relation to America. For all of the time that there have been these migrations over and over again.
And what was fascinating as I researched the Chinese America was to see the cyclical nature of history, to see how certain kinds of trends and patterns repeat themselves.
Like what?
Again and again, both in the United States and in China. Well, for example, how often an economic depression or a political crisis would then often lead to the mistreatment of a particular ethnic group in the United States. We see this with the Chinese in America several times. I used to think that maybe the problems they experienced in this country, the persecution they faced, was pretty much either a relic of the past or it was just caused by maybe fear of the unknown, the Chinese... foreign features, the racial features, but I found it was much deeper than that. That really when people's jobs are at stake or when there is a sense that perhaps they're not going to be able to compete effectively with another group, that's often when the worst xenophobic impulses come to the surface.
You talk about that, I think, at the end of The Rape of Nanking, and it reminded me of Jared Diamond saying in almost essentially the same thing. You go through a much more complete analysis than he did, at least in my recollection, but basically said, hey, we've got to look at, and what he was talking about was genocides. We have to look at them. We can't ignore them. Otherwise, we're doomed to repeat it. But he also said part of the trick is to dehumanize those other people, to make them less than human, subhuman, and then treatment that would be unacceptable by any normal standard becomes acceptable by virtue of the fact these are not humans.
That's right. That's why many of those doctors in Unit 731 in Manchuria during World War II, why many of the Japanese doctors were able to commit these terrible atrocities, medical atrocities like vivisection without anesthesia. They called the human subjects logs. So you can't, I think, commit human rights abuses against a group unless you think of them as less than human. Otherwise, it's just impossible.
This is Iris Chang. We're going to be back with her for a good deal more in a moment. Please be with us when we return with the Paula Gordon Show.